Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from sweaty sailors to swarthy salesmen. And today, we are talking about the Soul Knife Rogue.
I cast fireball. The Dungeon Cast.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful and ready to make a brand new character and birth it into the DungeonCast/D&D multiverse.
All right, let's do it. Before we do that, let me tell you about the Soul Knife, and then you can build your character.
I'd like you to do that.
All right. So D&D has been rolling out the psionic options for some time. We talked about the Psy Warrior not long ago. Psionic dragons are coming with Fizban's book coming out this fall, and I haven't really kept up because psionic characters aren't really my jam. But today we are going to talk about a build, a psionic rogue, the Soul Knife. On a tangent, my favorite psionic class I have ever played was in 4th edition. It was a heavy armored psionic tank called a Battle Mind. Fun stuff. I may not like to play psionics much, or rogues for that matter, but I do always appreciate having one or both on my team. So without further ado, let's get into what a Soul Knife brings to a party.
That was such like an official like textbook tangent. You wrote in a tangent.
I did.
I love it.
I do that, yeah. I've been doing that more lately. Because I'm just going to write the way I talk.
I would like to go on a tangent now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Most assassins strike with physical weapons, and many burglars and spies use these tools to infiltrate secure locations. In contrast, the Soul Knife strikes and infiltrates with the mind, cutting through barriers, both physical and psychic. These rogues discover psionic power within themselves and channel it to do their roguish work. They find easy employment as members of thieves' guilds, though they are often mistrusted by rogues who are leery of anyone using strange mind powers to conduct their business. Most governments would also be happy to employ a soul knife as a spy. Amid the trees of ancient forests on the material plane and in the Feywild, some wood elves walk the path of the soul knife, serving as silent lethal guardians in their woods. In the endless war among the Gith, a Githzerai is encouraged to become a soul knife when stealth is required against a Gith Yankee foe. And yes, the Gith are what I think of when I think of the soul knife, less more so than wood elves. I mean, I'm sure a wood elf could be a soul knife. It's just not where my mind goes to.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like any of the good rogue classes probably make a good soul knife, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the setup.
Yeah.
It's a rogue, after
Indeed.
All.
It is a rogue, first and foremost. As a soul knife, your psionic abilities might have haunted you since you were a child, only revealing their full potential as you experience the stress of adventure. Or you might have sought out a reclusive order of psychic adepts and spent years learning how to manifest your power.
Yeah. I like the rogue. I'm not like super like over the moon about it all the time, but I like how unique it feels to play a rogue. Like nothing else feels like playing a rogue.
No.
Really. I mean, maybe you could make a bard or like something.
That's the closest thing.
A fighter maybe could even kind of start doing high dex rogue
all
stuff.
All dex stuff. Yeah. I can
or
see
like
that.
Get a training in a lockpick or whatever. You know, you could kind of get
maybe
there.
Maybe ranger. Ranger might be able
yeah,
to lean that
like
way.
They're all kind of right there. Like the rogue is doing some of that stuff. They're all sharing like that melee type thing, but like I don't know, you're just doing like you're so specialized and there's a cool thing, but like it can get played out. I'm having fun with my rogue multi-class. It's super utility.
So rogue wizard, which is an interesting build.
It's fun.
All right, so let's focus on the soul knife. The first feature you get when you take this subclass is called psionic power. At third level, you harbor a wellspring of psionic energy within yourself. This energy is represented by your psionic energy dice, which are each a D6. You have a number of these dice equal to twice your proficiency modifier, so I think at this point it's 4, and they fuel various psionic powers you have, which are detailed below. So, some of your powers expend the psionic energy dice they use, as specified in the power's description, and you can't use a power if it requires you to use a dice when your dice are all expended. You regain all your expended psionic energy dice when you finish a long rest. In addition, as a bonus action, you can regain one expended psionic die, but you can't do so until you finish a short or long rest.
I like that.
So it's like
that.
You always have one.
Yeah, or not always, but like you can get one if you really need it.
Yeah, it's like you... Yes, exactly that. We'll go with that, yeah. When you reach certain levels in this class, the size of your psionic energy dice increases. 5th level to D8, 11th level to D10, and 17th level to D12. It's like superiority dice for rogues.
Yeah.
But psychic flavored.
Yeah.
So the powers below use your psionic energy dice. First power is called Psi Bolstered Knack. When your non-psionic training fails you, your psionic power can help. If you fail an ability check using a skill or tool which you have proficiency, you can roll one psionic energy die and add the number rolled to the check, potentially turning failure into success. You can spend the die only if the roll succeeds. Now that's interesting to me. So it's like, I guess you psionically pick the lock instead of pick the lock?
Yes, this is cool. Yeah. I'm having really cool ideas for like the thing I pitched you for my character earlier.
Okay,
right,
cool.
Now.
Yeah, this Hell yeah. is good. So, again, the first one, Psionic Bolstered Knack, it's ability check oriented. The next one you get is called Psionic Whispers. You can establish telepathic communication between yourself and others, perfect for quiet infiltration. As an action, choose one or more creatures you can see up to a number equal to your proficiency bonus, which at this point is 2, and then roll one psionic energy die. For a number of hours equal to the number rolled, the chosen creatures can speak telepathically with you, and you can speak telepathically with them.
Neat.
To send or receive a message, no action is required. You and the other creature must be within 1 mile of each other, so quite the range.
That's good.
A creature can't use... So that's great if you're doing, like, a citywide heist.
Yeah, and you got your fucking touch-to-talk, like Nokia phone or whatever, mm-hmm. fucking embedded in your brain.
Indeed. A creature can't use this telepathy if it can't speak any languages, and a creature can end the telepathic connection at any time. You and the creature don't need to speak a common language to understand each other, though. The first time you use this power after each long rest, you don't expend the psionic energy die. All the other times you use this power, you expend the die.
I like that, the idea of the psychic stuff in D&D having the feature of not having to, like, it transcends language as long as you know the concept of language. So, yeah. like, kind of hints that, like, language is, like, a force of nature almost.
Right.
And, like, we layer what we need to, like, speak it on top of whatever this force is. And
Very
telepathy
so.
Just taps straight into it.
Yeah, it's just a direct line of communication to the
source.
Can't
talk to sentient rocks that don't know... Unless they know sentient rock, the language.
Exactly. So, also at third level, you get a feature called Psychic Blades. You can manifest your psionic power as shimmering blades of psychic energy. Whenever you take the attack action, you can manifest the psychic blade from your free hand and make the attack with that blade. This magic blade is a simple melee weapon with the finesse and thrown properties. It has a normal range of 60 feet and no long range whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
And on a hit, it deals psychic damage equal to 1d6 plus the ability modifier you use for this attack roll. Excuse me. The blade vanishes immediately after it hits or misses its target, and it leaves no mark on its target if it deals damage.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's like an ice gun.
Indeed. After you attack with the blade, you can make a melee or ranged weapon attack with a second psionic blade as a bonus action on the same turn, so you can dual wield these.
Cool.
Provided that your other hand is free to create it. The damage die for this bonus attack is 1d4 instead of 1d6. So this is a cool way of, like, if you get disarmed, no big deal. You're never disarmed because your mind is your weapon.
You can disarm my hands, but you can't disarm my mind.
Indeed.
I guess an ice bullet, like an ice gun, would leave a mark of some kind, though.
Yeah, this is...
So you can't, like, there's no bullet to trace.
Right, right. In Stormlight Archive, there are these things called shard blades, and they can cut through non-living material as if it's air, like nothing. And Ooh. It's like a perfect slice. But if it cuts through living material, it will pass through it as if it's not there, mm-hmm. but it severs the soul. And so it leaves no mark, but if you slice through someone's arm, they lose function in that arm forever.
Oh, man.
So it kind of reminds me of that. Less deadly, obviously, but it's that no mark kind of deal.
Reaper death seal.
Indeed.
Okay. That would be horrifying for you to, like, find out some stuff was a mimic, like, with this knife on accident.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Let me just, like, open it with my fucking magic knife. Oh, shit! Oh, yeah. Wait. That's weird.
Well, you got a free attack in there.
Yeah, and then you get pseudopodded.
Yeah, you do. So, at level 9, you get a feature called Soul Blades, which is not to be confused with Psychic Blades at level 3. Your Psychic Blades are now an expression of your Psy-suffused soul, giving you these powers that use your psionic energy dice. Homing strikes. If you make an attack roll with your psychic blades and miss the target, you roll one psionic energy die and add the number rolled to the attack. If this causes the attack to hit, you expend your psionic energy die. Psychic teleportation. As a bonus action, you manifest one of your psychic blades, expend one psionic energy die and roll it, and throw the blade at an unoccupied space you can see up to a number of feet away equal to 10 times the number rolled. Ooh. You then teleport to that space and the blade vanishes.
That's neat. I know
I bring up Final Fantasy a lot, but in Final Fantasy Kingsglaive, the movie, which is the prequel to Final Fantasy 15, the Kingsglaives have this power where they can throw their weapon and teleport to it.
Nice.
And that's what this reminds me of. It's really fucking cool.
Sweet. Okay, yeah, that's cool. That is very cool. I'm a little, like, I don't want to say put off, but I feel like people might be put off by, like, all of this, like, I do it and I only expend the resource if I hit, mm-hmm. which is cool, like, as a player, but yeah. I feel like some, like, old-schooly people might be like, no, you should just lose that shit, like spells, you know? You're not guaranteed to ever hit a spell, you know?
Well, you are, you're not, but you actually kind of are, because spells have the miss damage a lot.
Some do.
Most do.
I mean, there's, like, enchantment stuff where it's like, they save, it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah, so that's like true. That. You're right
this
there.
This is baked in on everything.
That's like, kind of how I feel about smites, is I feel like a smite should... I feel like paladin smites should be tied to, like, you decide beforehand if you're about to smite a motherfucker. Because that's what makes sense. You're putting your divine energy into it, and then if you miss, you miss. But that's not how it's built in.
Yeah,
it's,
I always you picture hit, it like you and hit, then you, and it puts, like, a marker, and then energy, like, comes down and hits
or
something like
it's
that.
Yeah, it's just, I think paladins are OP.
They are. That's why. And maybe you're right. Yeah. Like, you have to, like, I'm going to commit to smiting. But this is, like, the game is going the other way with that. Like, they want you to be able to, like, do your thing and hit it. And
as
a player, you do want to be able to do your thing and hit it. Not get, like, feel like you got punished for missing, like, extra hard. Like, I already missed. It's like, very now I also, like, can't do my cool thing I'm supposed to be able to do.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. At level 13, you get a feature called Psychic Veil. You can weave a veil of psychic static to mask yourself. As an action, you can magically become invisible along with anything you're wearing or carrying for 1 hour or until you dismiss the effect. This invisibility ends early, immediately after you deal damage to a creature or you force a creature to make a saving throw. Once you use this feature, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest, unless you expend a psionic energy die to use this feature again. Hour-long invisibility is fucking cool, and, like, you know, usually, it ends early if you deal damage, but you don't have to. You could just go invisible and fucking explore a place.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah,
so. Extra cool.
Very neat.
Rend mind.
Finally, at level 17, you get your ultimate feature, Rend Mind. You can sweep your psychic blades directly through a creature's mind. When you use your psychic blades to deal sneak attack damage to a creature, you can force that target to make a wisdom saving throw. If the save fails, the target is stunned for a minute. The stunned target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. Once you use this feature, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest, unless you expend 3 psionic energy die to do so. That's a lot of psionic energy die to do so. I don't know if I would do that.
But you can if you really need to.
But you could if you really want to get a second stun off.
You probably have a lot of psionic energy dice by level 17, right?
Let me see here. Let's go back to the psionic energy die. I know it increases in size, but I don't know if it increases in number. You have a number of these dice equal to 20. Yeah, it does. It does increase with your proficiency bonus, which I think by level 20 is 5. So you get 10.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, not too bad.
So 3, if you really need that feature, just like...
I don't know if I would.
Yeah, I don't know if I would either, but, like, you could.
You could.
Like, you know, just like we just said. Okay, this is a very cool...
It's flavorful. Very flavorful class.
And I know how to take it to the next level.
All right, well, let's do that after our short rest.
Okay.
Hey, folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. This episode of the Dungeon Cast is sponsored by Valda's Spire of Secrets, a new expansion for 5th edition D&D. What's your next character? If it's a human fighter or an elf ranger, I have a book that will change your mind. Valda's Spire of Secrets is a new expansion for D&D 5th edition that introduces 10 new base classes and over 150 new subclasses. Spire of Secrets works with any setting and any adventure. Think about it like an expansion for the core rules. It's not a new edition or a campaign setting. Think of it as the player's handbook 2 you always dreamed of. It even has a cute teddy bear race. Click the link in the description below to go to spireofsecrets.com and get your copy today.
All right, we're back.
Indeed.
And I have a character.
You do.
I didn't, but now I
do. Did you name
a
character?
Tess Ocean, from inspired from the character Tess Ocean from the movies Ocean.
Which one's that?
Julia Roberts.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So the side note. So I've watched Ocean's 11, 12, and 13.
Uh-huh.
I like all three.
Yeah.
The first one I ever saw was 12. And I know 12 is the one that gets panned a lot. Like, the critics hated it.
Oh, do they?
Dude, I fucking love Ocean's 12.
I thought it was
it's
good.
It's by far, for me, my favorite of the three.
Is that the one where they get the...
They go to Europe?
Spoilers
for Ocean's 12.
For Ocean's.
Okay.
Which, like, this, like all, it's a sequel Ocean. To Ocean's 11, so, like... Spoilers, they make it out and do another movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's
okay?
True.
So, like, sorry. All right, so Ocean's 12 is they go to Europe and they're using the casino guy from the first movie to like do their heist, or is that 13?
It's 13.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I really like him.
Yeah, so no, he's great.
Ocean's 12, Julia Roberts is actually like way in that movie, huh, yeah, right?
She is. So Ocean's 12 is when casino guy finds them all after first one.
That's right.
And he's like, you want to make this up to me? Then you need to do this fucking crazy heist.
Right.
Yes. Or you need to pay me my money back with interest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so they need to do it within like 2 weeks.
Right.
So they have to bust crazy this heist. But then there's this other heist guy who's like the master thief who's heisting ahead of them.
Right.
And they can't
competing.
Catch him. Yeah, they're competing. Yeah.
And Brad Pitt's mad.
And Brad Pitt's so mad.
Yeah.
And they bring in Julia Roberts to play Julia Roberts.
Yes. and George Clooney's also mad, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that movie. Ocean's 12 rocks. The soundtrack is amazing.
They're wonderful movies.
Anyways,
I like them a lot. Julia Roberts is super cool.
Tess who? Tess Ocean.
Tess Ocean.
Give me Tess
That's
Ocean.
Literally a lift off of her name is Tess Ocean, which I forgot. I was like, Julia Roberts from Oceans. I was like, oh, her name is Tess.
And tell me about your Tess Ocean. Tell me about your character.
Okay, so I built Tess Ocean, who is a character I'm going to play in a modern campaign. Okay. Not for reals.
This How
is
modern?
A, like, maybe, like... Pretty fucking modern, maybe even like slightly into the future.
So ultra modern.
Ultra modern.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Is it ultra?
It's I think it's the thing.
Okay.
It feels right. So
not
I said
super
it.
Modern.
No,
ultra modern.
Ultra modern.
Okay. Yeah. Got it. So Tess is a criminal background, involved in the criminal underworld, and specializes in heisting. She's a shiesty heister. Gets the money and goes. Is probably hired on by the party for like a percentage cut of whatever. Like, they're going to be looting.
Okay. So, is she a party member or is she a DMPC?
She'll probably be a party member.
Okay.
This is, like, a cool, like, we need to break into, like, this office building with high security, like, Wayne Enterprises or something like that. And, like, Catwoman style, like, get into Batman's shit and like take his stuff without him knowing, and we're so good at it that we're Batman's none the wiser, probably. Right. At least now.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're fucking around with CEOs of corporations.
I like it.
We're fucking around with credit companies. Mm-hmm. We're fucking around with anything like
very shadow runner.
Yeah, like yeah. I'm in a
shadow run.
I'm in a skyscraper. I'm breaking into the 14th floor.
Where I love it. Keep the so blah, blah, blah. Cyberpunk, you know? Cyberpunk. Yeah.
And I have a fucking gun.
That's cool.
Let's just put it at that. I have a gun.
Of course.
I don't have a
cyberpunk.
Bow.
Why wouldn't you?
I've got a fucking gun. Yeah, it's a little cyberpunk.
Is it like a laser gun or is it a bullet gun?
It's a bullet gun.
Okay, got
it. It's like Persona style.
Okay,
like I just fucking, I'm gonna fucking shoot him. You know, like.
Okay.
Sure. But she's cool. She's cool.
But she's cool. Yeah. But she's cool. But she has said that at least once.
Yeah, like, just let me fucking shoot him.
Okay.
She foams a little bit. Sometimes even half elves lose their cool. So I built a female half elf.
For sure.
And I was like, I don't really build half elves. But holy fuck, man, they're stacked. They're so good.
Oh, yeah. Half elves are great.
Yeah, and I went high dex. So I landed with, you get a plus two to your charisma as a half elf. So I threw my 10 over there. So I got a plus one. And then I got, I wound up with a plus three to dexterity at a 16, a plus two to con because she's a tough little thing. Mm-hmm. And some wisdom, dumped stat strength. No strength required. No strength.
Yeah.
But I am a cool workaround for like classes like the Rogue is to dump stat strength and then proficiency acrobatics. So that's mm-hmm. like a cool little work. Like or proficiency athletics as well.
Oh, I see what you're
like,
saying. Yeah.
To kind of curve like, okay, well, at least I can like still run because it mm-hmm. makes sense for me to be able to like run fast or climb something.
Right.
As well.
And then with how skilled rogues are and with their expertise, like, you can make that work.
Yeah. In this case, I chose acrobatics because I picture her like having to go through vents sometimes, like Mission Impossible style.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I got acrobatics, deception, insight with expertise. So that's at a plus nine right now. Investigation with expertise at a plus 10. I got perception, performance, sleight of hand at plus 11. I think I also took expertise in thieves tools, which I'm going to get into, and then a plus 7 stealth.
Nice.
That stealth with like all this invisible shit I can do seems pretty dope. So let's see here. I took some feats.
Oh, yeah. You were talking about this.
Yes, that I think are really cool. Here we go. I took the alert feat. I think I buffed dexterity and then like for my first ability score increase, and then I took the alert feat on my next one. You gain a plus 5 bonus to initiative. You can't be surprised while you are conscious, and other creatures don't gain advantage on attack rolls against you as a result of being unseen by you.
Nice.
Sharpshooter is the next feat I took for my ability score buff. I just took another feat. Attacking at long range doesn't impose disadvantage on your ranged weapon attack rolls, and your ranged weapon attack ignores half cover and three quarters cover before you make an attack with a ranged weapon that you are proficient with. You can also choose to take a minus 5 penalty to the attack roll to add plus 10 to the attack's damage. And then I also took Elven Accuracy. Increase your dex, intelligence, wisdom, or charisma score by 1. I'm pretty sure I picked dex. And whenever you have advantage on an attack roll using one of these modifiers, you can re-roll one of the dice you roll. So, like, Will kind of, I was asking him about it, and this is from this is a feat from Xanathar's. It's like triple advantage is what you said, right?
Kind of, because it's every time you have advantage, of the two dice that you roll, you can re-roll one of them.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, you get that third d20, and since it's every time, it's not like on a long rest.
So if you happen to have advantage and you hit like a 9 and 10
reset,
and then I just grab this 9 and throw it and mm-hmm. see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So it's like you get essentially you get to roll 3 dice instead of 2 every time you have advantage. Now, I see how all that serves your gun, but where do your psychic blades come in to this build?
They're also ranged weapons. So
yeah, you can throw them.
Huh?
I said yeah, you can throw them.
Yeah, so yeah. It works out, but I think I just kind of wanted to like have this rogue be psychic and to have like a lot of this stuff psychic flavored, like mm-hmm. alert, like easy to put a psychic flavor on that. I can kind of like detect minds around me, and that's right. Why I can't be surprised. Sharpshooter, like curving, knowing where people are in the room and how to like get an angle on them to hit them and stuff. Like, okay, like maybe the curving the bullet thing might be a cool implication here.
God, curving the bullet.
Or like, and this elven accuracy thing, like that's probably just
what's
like
that Angelina Jolie movie?
Yeah, the curve the bullet. What's that one called?
don't know why it upsets me so much. It's just the concept upsets me.
You just gotta like swing the arm.
So stupid. Oh my god. Anyways, continue.
Maybe I won't because it was so bad. Sorry. Yeah, I got the dark vision. I got the soul blades. I have like all the cool rogue stuff. Uncanny dodge, evasion. I have the criminal background, which gave me like extra skills, and like knowing the criminal underworld and stuff. Yeah, my psychic blades are gonna get some of these bonuses. Cunning action, thieves can't. I want to lean really hardcore into like using the psychic stuff to hack. Like through doors.
Oh yeah, which you can do.
And my thieves tools are going to be like linked in with that. Like, yeah, I'm going to be using like, I have like a key card that I can like program real quick to like slide if I need to do that, right. Or like a fob, or
you have like a whole dangly with all kinds of the different input style stuff.
Yeah, I kind of want to tie like investigation and insight together in some of these roles to like break a firewall and like use my psychic power to like see through the code.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's where the mortar it like connects. That's the weak point. Let me like start drilling. You know,
yeah.
Like,
oh, stuff that's like cool. That. That's yeah. dope. I like that.
I like how Bioshock kind of does hacking where you have to like.
I haven't played Bioshock.
It's like a meter, or you have to like connect pipes together while like you're racing against like the liquid that's coming through.
Familiar.
Or something like that.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's like a little like. Oh shit, I have to be like, oh, this one needs to go here, this one needs to go here, and I'm on a timer, you know?
Okay.
You get a little panicked, but.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I like that for hacking, or like, if I was going to implement this character for it, like, into a game with other players as a DM, it would be cool to, like, do something really fun with, like, that aspect of the game for the player. It's like, okay, well, you need to give me an investigation role. Okay, good. You're really good at that. You find the thing you need to hack in the system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now give me like insight. Let's see how deep like you can understand this thing.
Right,
like it's got a soul and like a brain of some kind. Like
that's cool.
Like an Ultron level. Like okay, you're a computer network, but you're so complex that you're like some sort of
yeah,
brain.
Yeah. I like that. The
and
AI
her job it. Is to break down these systems.
That's really cool
with her psychic powers. And then obviously for combat, she'll be cool for like getting into the scraps with everybody and like staying. I want to like play this character at range as much as possible.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, you got the elven accuracy and the spell sniper, so.
Yeah, so become invisible, get out of the way, you know, tear up people's minds with invisible mind swords.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. Sounds like a great star of an action movie.
Yeah, or just like the support character, like got to get him in, and then the big buff guys are going to go tank. You know?
Sure,
and I'm
going to
stand
absolutely.
Back here with my fucking gun and fucking, I'll get you from the back. I also like the idea of like an invisible character standing at the back of the room. You just see like these puffs of gunpowder like blasting.
Mm-hmm.
And then like one comes from like the back corner and then like the front left and then like the middle right. Like they're coming from all over the
right.
place. And
you
they're like,
you can't locate
you
them.
Can't, yeah.
That's really cool.
Fun times.
Cool. I like your character.
Yeah, that's Tess Ocean, baby.
Tess Ocean, the soul knife with a gun.
She's going to go
get the soul gun.
She's going to go get diamonds, baby. Sorry, that's Sex and the City. Julia Roberts isn't even in that.
No, she's not.
Okay.
Can we get ready for a long rest?
Yeah, let's get long.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, no.
Hey, everybody, welcome to long rest. We need a break. Shit. Oh, it's so fucking hot.
It is very warm in here.
It won't be soon. Anyway, we're
building Beholder.
No, we're getting ready for bed.
Oh, we are getting ready for bed.
Hot cocoa, William.
Thank you. Actually, no, it's too
cold
hot.
Cold cocoa,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take some iced tea.
Here's some
wait,
cold,
that's caffeine.
Some cold chocolate milk.
Yeah.
I dissolved an energy drink pill in
no,
it.
No, I don't want it. I'm trying to go to bed.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, that's
what
right.
What are you doing?
We need the energy to sleep good. No,
yeah,
wait.
Sure. I'll take the cold milk, but what else we got going on?
Now we need to build the Beholder.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So you want to go first?
Yeah, where'd it go? Where is it?
You want to do the feature or do you want to do the beam?
I got to find this guy.
Okay.
I rummaged through my box of Beholders, the old ones. They're all here. Oh, there you are. What's up, Rick the Grick, Rancher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about its feature.
So I believe for the feature we decided that Rick the Grick Rancher. Wields psychic blades and has one sheathed to its side as its feature.
I love that it's sheathed.
Me too.
Okay, sheathed psychic blade.
Uh-huh.
Rick the Grick Rancher is packing, and he wants you to know it.
Indeed.
Even though it's a mind blade and he wields it with his mind, he likes to have it on his hip ski. Right.
And then for the beam, for the ray, what do we got?
Okay. For the beam, it was... What the fuck did we just say?
It was a static invisibility ray.
What? Oh, yeah. Okay, let me read that. Let me read that thing.
It was a psychic veil ray.
The psychic veil ray.
Yeah.
You can weave a veil of psychic static to mask yourself as an action. You become magically invisible along with anything you're wearing or carrying, including a sheathed psychic sword for 1 hour. So it can become invisible. So I picture it having, like, out of this beam, like, there's, like, psychic, like, static, like that purple, like... You know, energy. Archie energy shit coming out of the end of that beam.
I also think that this can extend to its Grix, and it can psychic veil its Grix that are in danger.
Indubitably.
Like, I can't get to that Grix that's super in danger because I can smell it.
I can smell.
I'm gonna psychic veil it.
I smell until not I get only there. Grix, but the danger they are in.
Exactly. So psychic veil, bam, until you can get there.
I must veil my Grix.
Indeed.
And that one's acting out. Trank.
There we go.
Tranking him.
All right.
This is the ultimate Grick machine.
Yeah, it's out here ranching these Gricks.
It has to grab the psychic sword with like a tentacle, and then I want it to hold it in its three-sided jaw, and like Zorro from One Piece.
I just feel like after the first two horrific monstrosities we made, it's nice that we're building a beholder with a backstory.
A beholder and, that is a wholesome, like, big rancher, Grick. I think that's the name of this beholder.
Grick the Rancher.
We put as many ranch-associated names stacked on top of it. So, like the big rancher, Grick, the big rancher, Rick... The Grick Rancher.
There we go. Big Rancher Rick, the Grick Rancher.
Yeah, that is the name of this beholder. We did it early.
All right, guys. We are doing a contest going on concurrently, and it is a giveaway of two copies.
Fight for Our Love and a book.
Fizban's Treasury of Dragons, coming out on October 19th. If you want to win this awesome new dragon-filled book, all you have to do is go on Twitter, share an episode of your favorite DungeonCast show with the hashtag DungeonCast, and hopefully we pull your name.
That's anything we make, including Super Quest Saga, Everything You Need to Know,
D&D Explained.
Explained videos, DD5s, we used to call them sometimes, and then, I don't know, share a link to the Patreon, which helps us a lot if you guys go log in there and get some bonus content for yourselves, but mostly just help us out. We really appreciate that. Let's see here, William. What is this note I found? Oh shit, it's episode 251 and we didn't fucking do anything for episode 250.
Were we supposed to? I don't feel like that's like a true milestone.
We did a 100, a 150, and a 200. But we didn't do a 50.
We didn't do a 50.
We didn't do a 50.
We're skipping the 50s
We're
now,
skipping
folks.
50. It was just a 1 year.
Wait for 300.
Cuz 50, roughly 50, 52 actually is like the year marker. So
that's true.
We're coming up on what, year four in the bag?
Year five.
And we'll be working on
year
five.
No,
yeah.
This is year five.
Oh, so year five is in the bag. We'll be working on year six
Indeed.
Of this podcast.
I know, it's crazy.
We've been doing this for 6 years.
We started at the
Where did
the time go?
How did I get so old?
We started this podcast at the very tail end of 2016. It is 2021, so yeah, it's been 5 years.
Yeah, and I found out my wife was pregnant like immediately after we started
the
show.
You did.
2 months
that.
Later, I was like, "Oh fuck, I got to learn how to do podcasts and be a daddy." Yeah,
true.
My kid is no. Wait, my kid is four. It's not
well,
been 6 years.
Nine months after you found
okay,
out,
yeah,
the podcast would have been about a year, and
okay.
thus your kiddo would have been born.
Okay,
I think
so
we're going to call it a game, guys.
Oh, holy crap. Oh, man. How the time flies. Episode 251. Celebratory. Huzzah. Thanks for being here, Rick.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.